The Gibson Cup Series opens up tonight. The Portage Lake Pioneers against the Calumet Wolverines. And I have the coaches of both teams here this morning. I have Rico McCarthy from the Pioneers. I have Bruce Kukikapo from the Calumet Wolverines. Good morning to both of you, gentlemen.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning.
It is good to have you here. Wait a minute, Kuki. You're not talking. Hang on. I'm going to hit that mic. Now try it again.
Okay. Testing.
Why are you not working here?
This isn't I'm good.
We just bought that new microphone, too.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Look, I can make it do that.
So. All right.
There we go. This radio studio is a lot like a hockey rink. If something doesn't work, you just kick it a little bit, and on you go. You know, do you guys like each other or not?
Well, for the next 3 days, we will not like each other.
Because this has always amazed me about the senior hockey in the area here, where you go out on the ice and you have these really spirited competitions, and then afterwards y'all get together and have beer. I love that ability to turn it on and off.
I think that comes with age. You know, when you're younger, high school and even early careers in our at our level, people are really have animosity and they hate one another. And I think once you hit 25 or 30, those feelings, you know, it's only a game and, you know, we're all individuals and we're friends from way back.
Wait a minute, was that when I got old at 25 or 30?
The mindset changes a little bit.
It does a little bit. You kind of get a little bit more mature. Now, Rico, your team, your Pioneers, still in first place in the GLHL, or what's the
We're in first standings? Place right now. We ended up 16-4 during the regular season, and West Bend is 15-4. They have one more game this coming Friday, and if they lose, we would end up in first place. If they win, we end up with the same records, but they get the tiebreaker, which is goals for, goals against.
Okay, and the Calumet Wolverines not quite in first place this year, Bruce. But now, wait a minute. What's this? This is not working.
Hang on here. This is.
You want to share one?
No. What we're going to do is pull this mic over here. See, I thought I fixed this mic the other day. This is. Try that one, kid.
Testing one, two.
Ah, now right. we are working the way we are supposed to. We put the cheap mics out. They work fine. We put the expensive mic out, and we've got some issues with that one. So not quite in first place for the Calumet Wolverines this year, but the standings in the Great Lakes Hockey League don't make much difference as you go into the Gibson Cup Series, do they?
Well, I kind of look at the way our season went this year. We lost 8 one-goal games, so we were in every one of those games. We turned around and lost 5 2-goal leads late in the third period. So we were very competitive. I'm not totally disappointed with my hockey team, and we've had a little issue with goaltending this year. Our good goaltender, Ryan Patrick, he was hit by a car a couple of years ago, and that knee has been acting up on him. So we had to go with our backup goalie, and it made a difference.
Well, and it's tough, I know, because all of the people who play on these teams have lives, and they have jobs, and they have families, and they have obligations, and there's a lot of travel involved in playing these games. Not everybody can play every game, can they?
No, they can't. That's where road travel comes so important into the record. If you travel with 10 guys on the road, you're not going to win many games, but you know, we were fortunate this year to travel pretty heavy compared to past years, and I think that led to some of our success.
I look back at years ago when we played for the Gibson Cup, we didn't have so many college kids, you know, and we have to deal a lot with a lot of Rico and I with kids on spring break and winter break, and a lot of our kids are going to Michigan Tech, so it really makes a big difference. It's so hard to schedule.
Yeah, talk to me about how these teams have changed over the last years, because now I see a lot of young kids on these teams. I see a lot of kids that I recognize the names from the high school hockey programs just a year or two ago now. Are these teams younger than they were back in the day?
Oh, I'll say they're much younger than years ago, because if you go back to the 70s and 60s when I first started, I don't want to give my age up, but
everybody knows your age, Duke.
Anyway, I mean, you had guys like myself, Fred Berry, you know, all pretty good hockey players. We worked on a beer truck. You know, we were in our 30s, and most of the guys on our team were all working people. You know, they were older guys. Not many young guys played with us.
But now there are a lot of young players. I look at the rosters for both teams, and I see I know Alex Van Wagner, who was playing, I think, for Lawrence High School last year, playing for the Wolverines this year, and a lot of other familiar names that I'm seeing.
I think you mentioned earlier about the mindset changing at 25 or 30, and, you know, people do have lives outside of this league, and, you know, people just retire a lot earlier than they used to. They got, you know, family, and they have to spend time with them, and they have jobs. They don't want to get hurt doing that. They, you know, realize that. And I think overall, you talked about the younger players. I think the skill level has increased in our league. You know, back in the day, I think we were not quite as talented. We had skilled players, but not the depth that we have nowadays. I've got, you know, four or five great lines on my team, and they're all skilled players.
Well, and the rest of the world is catching up with us a little bit. You know, back in the day, we were the only bastion of hockey in the upper Midwest, it seemed. And now we see those teams from Wisconsin and even down towards the Chicago area bringing out a lot better skill level of players.
Well, just in our league alone, the amount of college hockey players now is just, it's probably, I'd say up near 70-80% of the players are college hockey players. Back in the day when we were playing, there was hardly any. So that's how much the game has changed.
The Great Lakes Hockey League, can we talk about this, a potential expansion into a nearby town?
Well, I talked to the league commissioner last night, and Marquette is ready to go.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we're kind of excited about that because we've been wondering for years, right, Rico? When are they going to get a team in a league? So it's going to happen next year. We do have a league policy that you have to play a year of exhibition, but last year, if you recall, I brought that up at the league meeting. We're going to waive that and get them right into the league because a year of exhibition is no fun for anybody.
No, and I suppose that it makes sense in an area where maybe the future of the team would be in doubt. Maybe there isn't a great history of hockey, but Marquette has a great hockey history. You would like to think that if they can get the team going, that it'll stick.
I think Marquette is way overdue for a league team. I've got five guys on my roster that come from Marquette and that play. And, you know, they got Northern down there. They've got a lot of hockey. So it's a definite plus.
Well, and that'll certainly raise the level of UP competition. It's been you two teams, the Wolverines and the Pioneers, for so long. It'll be nice to have another Upper Peninsula team in that mix.
It'll be nice to have another short road trip instead of a long one, that's for sure.
Yeah, because there have been threats of teams coming from farther away, and we keep battling that. We don't want that travel. It's just, it's too costly.
Well, it is. It's a long way. I mean, up until this point, your closest road trip has been, what, Eagle River?
Correct.
And a lot of them a lot longer than that. And that's expensive because guys have to put up for motel rooms and meals and things like that.
Yeah, we go as far as Monroe, which is an hour south of Madison. And up until this year, we went down to Vernon Hills, just north of Chicago.
Yeah.
So that makes for some long road trips. And like you said, hotels and gas and food, it adds up quickly.
For those who don't know the history of this cup, the Gibson Cup, tell me a little about that.
Well, it was started before mine and Rico's time. I think it was started like in the 30s, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it was played for by like the Sioux and Escanaba and different teams. There's a lot of different names on that. They played for like probably in the 30s and 40s and a little bit in the 50s, if I'm not mistaken. But then it was put to bed for a while. And the funny story about the Gibson Cup getting back into play, Paul Lado and Norm Koski, your former employee here, snuck in the basement of Tony Bukovich's Red Wing Lounge and stole the cup out of his basement. And not sort of stole it, but it was just...
Borrowed.
Borrowed, because it was laying down there for years. And at that time, back in 67, I believe it was, in 67, 68, they put it back in play. So it's pretty much in play as long as we've been around the last 50 years, so...
Yeah, it's the third oldest cup going, I believe.
Correct.
And so it's something that really ties into the storied legend of hockey that we have here in the Copper Country.
And then to add a kooky story about the cup, it went into hibernation again in the late 70s, I believe, and it was relocated accidentally in Paul Lato's township office is the story I've been told. And we finally wrestled it away from Pauly, and it's been pretty steady since then.
It was in the most secure building in Calumet.
So the series opens up tonight. Game one at the D at 7:30. Game two tomorrow night in the Coliseum. Game three, if needed, will be at the D. But you guys are going to have to start early.
Correct. Originally, we had a 7:30 game start, but with the bridge closing at 9 o'clock, we moved it earlier to 5 in the afternoon at the D Stadium.
So if we need game three, and we'll have all of the games broadcast on our sister station, KBear 102 and KBear102.com. I know Jeff and Kevin look forward to this, and we'll also be doing broadcasting your games from the Great Lakes Hockey League tournament, which is coming up here in town next weekend.
Right. Next Friday, the games start at noon. And all nine teams will be involved in that. And games, majority of the games will be at D Stadium, but we do have a few over at the Houghton County just so we can fit them all in.
Is this early for the Gibson Cup?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that because, you know, we're hosting the league tournament and they moved that up a week. And the following week we have, you know, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And it's just, you know, it draws into April, and I know Calumet pulls their ice, you know, earlier than we do, so ice time becomes an issue.
Well, and it becomes an issue sometimes even keeping the ice playable if we get a warm spring in both of those facilities. So yeah, it's for those who are thinking it's time for the cup already, it is time for the cup already. Well, so, Kuki, give me a prediction.
Well, I'm not predicting nothing because it's always been a great series, but I wanted to throw something else in your
Go, do it.
The outfit that is here filming the documentation of this Gibson Cup, they're a huge company. They sent seven people here to do a documentary, and they've been all over the Copper Country. I think they were at Rico's practice last night. They were at ours. They're out on a logging truck today following one of my players around to see what he does, but they're going to do a documentary on this game. I think it's going to be really interesting because they wanted to find a small town rivalry and do this documentary. So we've got people here from California, Florida.
All filming this for this documentary, a professional documentary. And they couldn't have picked a better rivalry than this one. I can't think of a better one.
Well, yeah, and we hope that we can fill I hope Rico can fill the D tonight and we can get a lot of people out to make this thing successful.
Yeah, and aside from the fact that the hockey is great and the competition is always spirited, the fact that there is a documentary being filmed and we'd like to show, you know, butts in the seats, to be quite honest, we'd like to show that. Get out and support. It's wonderful hockey. You will have a great time. The players, like I mentioned earlier, they like each other and they go at each other at about equal levels. So it's going to be good. Do you have a prediction here, Rico?
You know, you're going to throw the record book out when it comes to the Gibson Cup. On paper, you know, we should be the favorites, but we've been in that situation before, and it always goes to three games. So I predict somebody will win in three games.
Well,
good call, Rico.
Both of you guys should go right into politics. Hey, thank you both for coming in. Good luck in the series. I hope you have two or three wonderful games. And I hope you have a wonderful turnout. Of course, tickets will be available at the door at the D tonight at 7:30, at the Coliseum tomorrow night at 7:30, and if necessary, game three back at the D, but it will be 5 o'clock on Friday, so you can get across the bridge afterwards. And Rico and Kuki, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you
have a wonderful tournament.